Thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your life will be touched by the Spirit of Almighty God with constant and powerful truths that can be applied to your everyday life.
God is good. Let me try that one more time. We're going to old time Pentecostal here. God is good. And all the time. Amen. Am I on? Okay. Amen then. Well, a couple of weeks ago, and I started a little bit of a series with our youth, talking about training for godliness. And the scripture, turning to 1 Timothy, I'm going to go right into the scripture this morning. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, talking about training for godliness. 1 Timothy 4, 7, I'm reading out of the NLT. It says, don't waste time arguing over godless ideas and old wives' tales. Instead, train yourself to be godly. Don't waste your time arguing about godless ideas and old wives' tales. He says, instead, train yourself to be godly. 1 Timothy 4 and 7. Don't waste a bunch of time. Don't waste your efforts, your thoughts, your day, your resources, your energy on godless ideas and old wives' tales, old fables. Rather, train yourselves to be godly. I like the Amplified. I'm going to read it in the Amplified. It says, but have nothing to do with irreverent folklore and silly myths. On the other hand, discipline yourself. And training is a discipline. When you train, you discipline yourselves. Discipline yourselves for the purpose of godliness. I love the Amplified there. You know, the Amplified always has a way to kind of put a little kick into it, adds a little emphasis, a little spark. You know, it puts in those little brackets, those things that kind of clarify stuff for you. Don't have anything to do with irreverent folklore or silly myths. On the other hand, discipline yourselves for the purpose of godliness. We're talking about training for godliness, but the Amplified says, it says, discipline yourselves for the purpose of godliness. Don't just train to be godly. Discipline yourselves for the purpose of godliness. Amen? Amen. Keep yourself spiritually fit for God's purpose. For God's purpose. Why am I here? Well, you're here for God's purpose. And we're to train ourselves for God's purpose, for the purpose of godliness. You were created with a purpose. He has a plan for you. 1 Peter 2 and 9 says, but you are a chosen generation. Come on, it's talking about you today. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, his own special people. Talking about you today, you're his own special people. You are his own special people. The songs that we sing this morning about his deliverance and about what he will do and his promises, that's for you, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises. God's purpose is that we, his special people, we proclaim his praises. We're to proclaim his praises. It's what we were doing when we were singing. The songs, we proclaim his praises. But when you walk out of here, what do? Do you continue to proclaim his praises? Come on. You're God's people to proclaim his praises. We're to train for godliness. This year our theme is what? Making disciples. What's our purpose? We're created and we're supposed to discipline ourselves for God's purpose. The Great Commission, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, even to the end of times. Our purpose, proclaim his praises, make disciples, teach them. We're to train ourselves for godliness. Come on, church. Come on, come into church. Don't make me godly. Coming to church, I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're here. Don't misunderstand me. Don't mishear me today. I'm thrilled that you're here. I'd rather you be here than anywhere else. My daughter, when she heard that I was preaching last week or earlier in the week, she said, oh, you're preaching, because she's been sick. Has had run a fever every darn day. And I'm rebuking it and speaking it out of her and taking authority over it. And when she heard that I was preaching, she says, oh, I hope I'm better by Sunday. Because she loves to come and hear me preach. That makes me happy as a father. And she's not just giving lip service, she meant it. And I would way rather her be here than on the sofa with a wet rag on her head. And, you know, I'm glad you're here, but coming to church doesn't make you godly. Listening to Christian music doesn't make you godly. Sunday school, it doesn't make you godly. Wednesday night attendees. Now, I know that if you're here on Wednesday night, we're just about walking on water. Huh? But it doesn't make you godly. While all of these things are important to achieving godliness and to train for godliness, they're just a byproduct of the godly man and the godly woman. They really are. Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday nights, youth, Wednesday nights, men's breakfast, Saturday, come on, men, let's bowl some turkeys. I won't be here. I'll be working, but y'all bowl one for me. You know, the women's seminar coming up. I mean, these things are important, but they do not make you godly. To reach godliness, we have to train. There's a training process. Merely attending church doesn't do that. So, you know, you read that and say, well, why do I want to have a godly life? Why do I want to live godly? Why not just get saved? Because you can get saved and not do anything in your life. Just profess the name of Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. I mean, the thief on the cross is a perfect example of that. He didn't do anything other than just say, here I am, Lord. I believe you. And Jesus said, I tell you the truth today, you will be with me in paradise. So he believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and he was saved. He didn't climb off the cross and do not one thing. So you can be saved and skate through life and not do one thing for the kingdom of God and still go to heaven. You can do that. Why do I want to be godly? Why do I want to put forth the effort? It's a good question. Let's turn right back to 1 Timothy because he answers that. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. I'm going to read that one again. Don't waste time arguing over godless ideas and old wives' tales. Instead, train yourselves to be godly. Why do I want to train myself to be godly, Wade? Well, here, because look, verse 8. Physical training is good. That's good. Chico, physical training is good, isn't it? I see Chico, man, he's a picture of hell. Hey, physical training is good. It's important. I need more of it. Physical training is good, but training for godliness is much better. Much better. Promising benefits in where? Heaven? No. In this life and in the life to come. Why do we train for godly? Physical training is good, but godly training is much better because it has promises for living this life. There are promises. Fall into faith. Pastor talked about the promises. The Bible's full of promises. And training for godliness, I can get saved and just slide underneath and just make it into heaven just because I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and professed his name. But while I'm here on this earth, training for godliness produces benefits. There are promises of benefits in this life. Right here, right now. Eternity, yes, but right here, right now. The here and the now. His word is full of promises, full of them. We sing about them. We talk about them. Let me just give you some. Exodus 14, there's Moses standing there, and Pharaoh's here, and you know the story, the ocean's there. And well, what do we do? What do we do? And Moses says, just be still and watch. The Lord will fight for you. The Lord himself will fight for you. Just stay calm. That's a promise. Exodus 14:13-14. That's a promise. He promises long life, Exodus 20. In the fifth commandment, it says, honor your mother and your father so that it may be well with you or that you may live a long, full life. That's a promise. It's a promise. Why live a godly life? Why train for godliness? Because there are promises. There are promises. There's a promise of benefits right now in this life. Protection, he promises it. No weapon turned against me. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. We sing about it. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. It won't work. You know that God can do what he says he'll do. He'll work things out. And if you train for godliness and you know those scriptures, you put them to memory, that's a promise. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Not that there won't be weapons raised up against me, but they won't prosper. He promises wisdom in James chapter 1. If any of you lacks wisdom, ask our generous God and he'll give it to you. Amen. Prosperity and hope in the future. Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to plans to give you a hope and a future. Those are promises. Church, why train for godliness? Why not just slide in under there in salvation? Because there are benefits and promises to be had right now, right here in this life. Uncontainable blessings. We talked about it. Adam talked about it. You know, the tithe. Malachi talks about it in the tithe, that you give the tithe and I'll open up the floodgates of heaven and pour out a blessing into you so vast that you can't even contain. Pressed down, shaken together, running over, blessings will come into your life. He rebukes the devourer. I mean, these are promises. His promises to supply all our needs in Philippians 4:19. And my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Jesus Christ. Promises. Promised of benefits right now in this. How many of you are alive right now? One or two of you aren't. But the ones that raised your hands, I'm glad to see you breathing. And for those of you who raise your hands and you're alive right now, there are benefits for you to be had right now while you're alive and breathing. Those of you who didn't raise your hand, I'm hoping you're saved because you're going to meet Jesus because you're not alive. Desires of your heart. Did you know that God will give you the desires of your heart? And that's a promise. If it's in his word, God is not a man that he'd be a liar. If it's in his word, it's a promise. It's a promise. It just is. And he promises, Psalm 37:4, take delight in the Lord and he will give you your heart's desire. God will give you the desires of your heart, but you got to take delight in the Lord. You got to train for godly living. You got to train for godliness. And then, of course, there is eternal life. John 3:16, everybody knows it. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believed in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And you know, Paul said that in Timothy. I mean, he didn't just limit it to here. Verse 8, physical training is good, but training for godliness is much better, promising benefits in this life and in the life to come. And in the life to come. Amen? So God has promises. Why do we train for godliness? Hey, I'm just going to be selfish. The benefits. You know, when I applied for the job that I have now, it was in the Ardmore, Oklahoma office, but they asked me, why do you want this job? And I sat there and I pondered that and I thought about it. I'm like, well, you know, the only true reason I want the job is because I got bills to pay and a family to feed. And so I told him, I said, I'm just going to be very, very forthright with you. I want this job because I want a paycheck. I like to pay my bills. I like for my family to be fed. I like to honor my commitments. I want this job for a paycheck. I would love to say that it's so I can do great and glorious and grandest things for you, you know, but that's not it. I want the benefits. It's got good days off. It's got a good 401k. I start receiving my PTO, my paid time off. I can start receiving it right away and using it right away. I want it for the benefits. Why train for godliness? I'm just going to be selfish here this morning, church. I want the benefits. Right here, right now, and in eternity. The promises of God. The promises of God. Training for godliness. Training, I want to give a couple definitions. Training to teach a particular skill or type of behavior through practice, instruction over a period of time. Let me read it again. To teach a particular skill or type of behavior, and that's what we're looking for. We're looking for that type of behavior, that godly behavior. To teach that behavior through practice and instruction over a period of time. That's what it means to train, over a period of time. To train means to make fit by exercise and practice. Becoming godly doesn't just happen. You've got to practice it over a period of time. You got to exercise over a period of time. When Paul tells Timothy to train to be godly, he's not just saying, hey, take a course and there you go, you got godliness. It's not like today where, you know, you take a course online and all of a sudden, bam, you get the certificate in the mail and I've got a degree in godliness with a minor in walking on water. It's not like that. It doesn't work that way. Training for godliness takes time. It takes persistence. It takes commitment. It takes effort. But let me tell you, it's worth every bit of it, or every ounce, it's worth it. It's not a one and done. It's not a bada bing, bada bangs, no hocus pocus. Listen, there's no pill to take to make you godly. If there were, grandmas and mamas and daddies, grandpas, they wouldn't be praying for their kids and their grandkids. They'd just at supper time sneak them in that godly pill and just wait for the next morning for their kid to wake up. Oh, they're godly. Hallelujah, that pill worked. Thank you, Jesus, for the godly pill. Don't happen that way. It just don't happen that way. It don't. Training for the professional athlete. Training is a lifestyle. It's all day. It's every day. Well, let me back up. For the successful professional athlete, it's all day, every day, a lifelong process. They start whenever they're kids, you know, and all the way through. It's all day. They don't just train and get trained and they reach that point and then all of a sudden, well, okay, I'm the professional now. I can just stop right here. That's not the way it is. It continues on all day, every day. Well, let me tell you, for the Christian, training for godly living, training to be godly, isn't a one and done. It isn't a one and done. It isn't a take the exam and I've got the certificate and now I'm a godly person. It's a lifestyle. It's a commitment. A lifestyle. Amen? Amen. You don't just train and get there and quit. Paul tells him to train yourself to be godly. Okay, how do I train? How do I train? I got it, Wade, but how do I train? Well, let me just take, Paul uses a lot of athletic things as parallel. You guys, you know, you've read some scripture. I'll give you some in a minute. But he parallels the Christian life and godly living to athletics often. And so we had our volleyball team right up here. And so let me ask you, did they just, we're talking about training for godliness. How do we do that? Well, number one is we need a coach, right? Because he could have called the girls up here and they would not have been up here had it not been for the fact that they have a coach who taught them, no, you don't do it that way, you do it this way. No, you don't have it like that, this is the way. Oh, wait a minute, here's the proper way, here's the proper form, so they have a coach, right? So you need a coach, number one, training. And I was trying to think about, you know, a coach and an example of what a coach could be like, and I thought about Tristan, I thought about Chapman, you know, our coaches, and when I think about Chapman, I mean, you got Tristan, and then you got Chapman. And it's like night and day. When he was helping on the volleyball team, Tristan would be up here going, good, okay, girls, okay. And Chapman up here, come on, you got to. So when I thought about coaching, I thought about Chapman just for fun this morning. How do you describe Chapman as a coach? And I found a video that kind of does that. So.
Oh, you're not just going to walk away and give up.
I'm stuck.
You can get that. That's yours. Nobody else. Get in there and give it some heat. Give it some heat. Get it some heat. Get in there and you get it. You go in there and you go get it hard. You get it. You get it.
Get it.
That's the one right there. You get it. Yes. All right. Yeah, baby.
Whoa. You're not just going to walk away. She got success. About to walk away from it. Listen, if you're going to train for godliness, you need coaches. You need coaches. They point out strengths. They identify weaknesses. They help develop the individual. They help develop the team. They facilitate. They encourage. You know, in football, you have, my word, I don't know. There's probably coaches I don't even know about. You got the head coach. You got the offensive coordinator, the defensive coordinator, the back coach, you know, the quarterback coach. I mean, the special teams, the runners. I mean, all of them got a coach. Just coach after coach after coach. Christianity's no different. No different. To train for godliness, you've got to have a coach. You've got to have a coach. Who are our coaches? They're our pastors. Our coaches are preachers. I mean, we may have a guest speaker comes up. Our pastors, our coaches are our Sunday school teachers, our kids' pastors, our youth leaders. You know, our kids' helpers, our coaches, our men's ministry people, our women's ministry leaders, our Bible study. We have Bible studies, you know, that those people that are leading, not that they're perfect, you know, at all. They're working, they're training to be godly as well, but they're here to coach you and not let you walk away from something that you've earned and deserved. I mean, I know it's a demonstrative, you know, display of what the coach, but it exaggerates the points and it gets it across. You put a quarter in, I mean, you walk. I hate walking away from a vending machine that just didn't give me my stuff. I mean, I'm just, you know, I think about this every time I do it. It just makes me want to back up and just kick it, you know. But they make them so heavy these days, if you kick it, you're probably going to break your leg or something. So people come to me at the hospital all the time. Man, that vending machine took my money. I said, I'm sorry, there's a phone number on it. Call the number. I can't do anything about it. But it's just hanging there. Hold on. It is just hanging there, isn't it? It's so heavy, though. You're rocking, and boom, it falls. And you didn't steal it. They earned it. They paid for it. I'll never look at you the same. preachers and pastors, listen, he comes. It's not that he's in here to berate you or to put you down. It's just that he comes in, you set before them, and they speak the word of God. They speak the truths. They talk about the promises, and it encourages you. Whenever they say something, if you're guilty of it, and they give it out of God's word, you can't get mad at the pastor. It's God that said it. Jesus said, if they deny you, they're denying me. And so whenever he picks this word of God up, and he reads something in it, and it says, this is the way you're supposed to do it, and not like this, as the participant training for godliness, don't get mad at the preacher. Don't get mad at the pastor, the teacher, whomever it is. Just go, you know what? I want to work on that. And I'm going to get better at that because I want to live a godly life because of the benefits that the godly life has right here, right now. You got to have a coach. And two, you got to practice. You know, oftentimes Paul uses those examples of athletics. You know, says, don't you know that all in a race, all runners run, but only one wins the crown. You know, an athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. I mean, over and over, Paul uses several of them like that. And so I'm paralleling some, you know, athletics to training, to Christian training, to living a godly life. Athletes practice. You got to practice. Church, you got to practice. You got to have a coach. You got to practice. You have to practice. Let me say this. Your level of practice will always determine your level of success. Apply that to anything. But we're talking about living godly today. Practicing a life of godliness. Training. And in order to train, you've got to practice. And your level of practice will always determine your level of success. Always. You can depend on that. To practice means to perform an activity or exercise a skill repeatedly or regularly in order to improve or maintain. To perform an activity or exercise a skill repeatedly and regularly in order to improve or to maintain its proficiency. For the athlete, practice prepares you for the game. It prepares you for the match. It prepares you for that day. For the Christian, practicing godliness prepares you for life. I mean, it doesn't just happen. It's a regular, repetitive lifestyle and to prepare you for life because life is going to happen. And if you don't understand what the word says and how it's going to get you all those promises we talked about, you know, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. I'm the head and I'm not the tail. If you don't know those things, if you've got to practice them. And if you don't know them, then you're faced up against a wall and you're sitting here and you don't know what to do. And all of a sudden, you remember that story that the Sunday school teacher taught or the kids preacher taught or the pastor taught. He talked about Moses in chapter 13 standing there and they're frightened and they don't know what to do. They're up against a wall of insurmountable odds and they're behind them is here comes the Pharaoh and all of his chariots. And you're standing there as a person in life, standing in front of this thing and you don't know what to do. And you don't know how to handle it. And you just don't see any outcome for you in a positive sense whatsoever. And you remember, wait a minute. God's no respecter of persons because that's what the word says because I trained and I remembered that. And I remember the preacher talking about Moses standing there and said, just be still and let the Lord fight for you today because he will fight your battles. And I began to speak that into my life. I began to speak that into my life and I experienced the promised benefits today. Today. I don't have to wait for heaven to get them. For the Christian, for the athlete, repeated exercise produces mental ability, physical strength, physical agility, all that. For the Christian, Repeated spiritual exercises produces discernment. It produces wisdom. It produces the fruit of the Spirit, the love, the joy, the peace, the patience, the kindness, the goodness, the faithfulness, the gentleness, the self-control that I don't spout off that person. You know, I want the blessings of God. I want the promises of God today. I want the benefits of a godly life. But yet I can't just control my mouth and I just lash out at that person and I say that thing and I do that thing just because I have no self-control. But if I train for godliness and I said over and over again, fruit of the Spirit's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, self-control. And then I find myself just stuck on number 9, self-control, self-control, self-control. And then that person standing there, and I want to just go, or I want to just go, pow! I want to go honk, honk. Self-control, 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 self-control. Because I repeated it over and over and over and over and over. I might not even remember love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, good and safe. But self-control, 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 self-control. Self-control. Training, it takes repetitive. It takes commitment. It takes commitment. How do I practice? I got to memorize Scripture. Church, you've got to memorize Scripture. Repeated spiritual exercise produces a man who can fling a stone, a young boy who can fling a stone into a giant's head and make him fall. Repeated spiritual exercise produces a man who walks along and his shadow casts over people and they're healed from their sicknesses. Repeated spiritual exercise produces that person who builds the ark for his entire life and gets on it and saves mankind. Training for godliness. Memorize those promises. God will never leave me. He'll never forsake me. Memorizing those promises, he'll fight my battles. He shall supply all my needs. He gives me wisdom generously if I just ask him for it. When you're faced with situations in life, Scripture, the promises of God will see you through it. The promises of God will see you through it. Jesus used Scripture. How do you think he knew that Scripture? It wasn't a one and done. He didn't take a pill for it. He didn't just, you know, okay, I'll read this because mom and dad tells me to. He read it over and over and over and over and over again. Matter of fact, when he was a little boy and they came looking for him, they found him in the synagogue. He said, "What? Why does it surprise you that I, didn't you know that I'd be about my Father's business?" In other words, Jesus spent a lot of time there training for godliness. And so when Satan came to him, he said, "Hey, Satan, it's written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God." That's Scripture. Satan tries to tempt him again. He said, "Hey, it's also written, don't put the Lord your God to the test." That's Scripture. Right. He comes again, and Jesus finally says, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." And it got him through. Starving in the desert for 40 days. He'd been in there just fasting, doing without, hungry. And all those things that seemed to surmount, you know, just well up against him. Here comes someone giving him a way out. "Hey, just stand up and look at all of that. I'll give it all." No, 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 no. I've trained for this moment. I've trained for this moment. And I'm telling you right now that I'm to worship God and God alone. I'm to worship him and him alone. Look, come on, you're hungry, get the stone. No, 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 no. I've trained for this moment. I've trained for this moment. And I've trained for this moment, and I can't live off of bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God, that's how I'm going to live my life. That's how I'm going to get by, training for godliness. Why? Because the benefits, honestly, they're just here. Great and glorious benefits. You got to study the word. Joshua 1:8, God told Joshua, "Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night. So you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you be prosperous and succeed." Who wants to be prosperous in here? Who wants to succeed in here? Okay. Meditate on it day and night. So you won't depart from it. So you obey all the commands. Yep. And only then will you be prosperous and succeed. Yep. Psalm 119, well, I just keep sinning. I don't know what to do. I keep fallen, you know, and I slide back into that. Okay, so Psalm 119, 11 says, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. So if you have a problem with sinning against God, hide the word in your heart. Train for godliness. Get that word in you. Get that scripture in you. Memorize it over and over and over and over again. Repeat it. So whenever that temptation comes, you'll have scripture in your heart that keeps you from sinning against God. You got to memorize scripture. You got to pray. Another thing, you have to pray. You have to practice your prayer. Practice involves prayer. You got to spend time praying too. When the disciples asked Jesus, how are we supposed to pray? In Matthew 6, 9, he says, in this manner, now listen, here's where a lot of people get confused. Jesus didn't say, pray this prayer. Jesus, how do we pray? Teach us to pray, Lord. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 through 13. In this manner, he says to pray. He didn't say, okay, whenever something comes up, you just repeat this prayer over and over again. Our Father, in our heart, in heaven, I'll be the name of hope. You watch TV. Oh, everybody gets scared and they huddle together. Come on, everybody, let's pray. Our Father, heart in heaven, hallowed be thy name. My kingdom come, will be done on earth. It is in heaven. Give us daily bread. And they pray that prayer. Jesus said, in this manner, pray. In this manner, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Stop right there. You got to learn. You got to train yourself to pray. Not, oh God, I need, oh God, gimme, gimme, gimme. Whenever you go down to pray, you don't say, just hit the ground. Lord, I tell you, this thing that's going on right now, you got to get control of it. It's going to be the death of me. You got to go in. And you have to, in this manner, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. God, you are so holy. Hallowed be thy name. Holy are you, God. Holy is your name. The word says come into his presence with thanksgiving and praise. And so we're supposed to come into his presence and not go, God, I need this. God, you need to help me here. God, this is going to be the end of me. You come in, you say, holy God. Magnificent and mighty God, none is like you. You and you alone are above all. You and you alone are seated on the throne in heaven. Praise be unto your name, Jesus, who sits at your right hand side interceding for me. I give you glory and honor. We sang a song about it. I come to the throne room. And in the Bible, it says in that throne room, the angels are circled about singing, holy, holy, holy is he who sits on the throne. Worthy is the Lamb. And the 24 elders seated there with him fall down on their knees and cry out, he is holy. So when I come into his presence, I don't say, give me, give me, give me. I need, I need. I say, God, holy and mighty and just and righteous and worthy are you. I come to you because you are who you are and no other reason. Your kingdom come, your will be done. The next verse. And God, have your way in my life. If there's anything inside of me that is not in line with your will, rip it out of me, God. Take it away from me. Help me to get past it, Lord. I honor you. Help me, Lord, to commit myself to honor you in everything that I do, in every area of my life, in my class, in your students in school, your parents with your kids, in every area of my life. God, help me to honor you. Your will be done on this earth, in my finances, in my life, in my kids' lives, in my job. Your will be done. And so on, and so on. And then ultimately, you get, give me this day my daily bread. Then you can start asking God for something. God, now, Lord, provide me what I need today. And that's simple. You could just stop right there. Provide me what I need today, because he knows what you need. He knows what you need. We're training for godliness, church. We're training for godliness. And it's not a one and done. It takes commitment. It takes time. You've got to practice. You've got to practice. And I've just really scratched the surface. You've got to practice scripture and prayer is all I gave you today. Practice scripture. Practice prayer. Just those two. But like God told Joshua, night and day, night and day. Meditate on it. Meditate on it. Meditate on it. And if you're going to do that, here's what you're going to have to do. Because I know if you're not doing it right now, then your time's consumed with something else. So you're going to have to pull away from something else and give that time. Listen, the successful athlete, they're not out here hanging in the bars with their friends. I was watching a college kid the other day in an interview, and before organized practice started, he said, well, I'm just out here, and he's running. You know, you got the little dummies, and you got to run through them. I'm not going to, you know, run through the dummies. And he said, I do this so many times before practice ever even starts. He said, you know, I have someone out here throwing the ball and me catching. I make so many catches before practice ever starts, before the team's ever even on the field practicing. That's commitment. Godly. Listen, get in that scripture. Memorize that scripture. Get on your knees and learn to pray. And then eventually what you'll start doing is you'll start praying that scripture. You'll start praying it. You'll recognize that there's a scripture here that, oh, this fits in a prayer. And you start praying that. You gotta practice. You gotta train to be godly. It takes practice. It takes practice. You gotta memorize some scripture. You've got to learn how to pray. Don't waste time arguing over godless ideas and old wives' tales. Train yourselves to be godly. I'm merely scratching the surface here this morning. We must train, we must train, we must train. I'm gonna read Joshua 1:8 one more time, and then I'm gonna close. Study this book of instruction continually. Everybody say continually. That doesn't mean periodically. Meditate on it day and night. Say day and night.
Day and night.
So you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all that you do. I don't know about you, but I want to prosper and succeed in all that I do. I want the benefits that God has for me right now, right here, today, and in eternity. Amen. Train to be godly. Y'all stand.
We hope that you have been blessed, encouraged, and motivated by today's message. If you are interested in more messages by Christian Ministries Church, then log on to our website at www.cmchurch.net and click on the podcast link.